you leave an incredible legacy in Seattle. You wrote reviews for Seattle Times. You
Right.
had a hand in starting Seattle Arts and Lectures.
Right.
And you were in Judith Roach's position at Bumbershoot running the literary arts before her.
Right.
There's probably other things that I don't even know about.
Well, that, yeah, it was a busy decade. I did a lot of performance art,
The ice thing at
ice
Bumbershoot.
performance, yeah.
Maybe you should talk about that first thing. Talk about what you did with ice, because I saw, well, you played video of it at
Right.
the second festival.
Right. Well, it's really been something that's fascinated me ever since I was living in the Himalayas, and up trekking up, 14,000 feet, and it's just amazing. It's hard to describe, but and then my thesis at the University of Houston was called A Journey to Ice, and that text is, I've been working on it off and on, and part of the ice performance was some of that. There's a lot of, it's kind of a hybrid text of ice facts and tales and myths and notes, and in fact each entry has a different typeface. So if it's like a ice myth or something, it's in one typeface, and so it just kind of flows. And then at the performance at Bumbershoot, we built an ice wheel with 100 blocks, 10-pound blocks of ice, and Kenny Mandel did music, percussion. Chris Leinbach did dance, and we had to wear gloves because we hadn't practiced with the ice. It was cold, and it might stick to your,
It's like licking a lamppost in the wintertime. You don't do that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So, yeah, so it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing that. And so I still have ice material that I want to finalize, maybe a book, something like that, put it all together.
You had no idea how prophetic working with ice would be in this age where the glaciers are retreating rapidly. It was 80 degrees in Alaska last week, and they're like,
Yeah.
we don't get this kind of weather.
Right. In fact, the some of the ice material came out in A Climate of Extremes, and at that time in '95, nobody was talking about global warming. It wasn't. Although I had been keeping, I keep clipping files because I things that I'm interested in, because that was sort of almost before the internet. Now you don't really need to, but if you look at that, it's a lot of, you could see it coming, but I was just sort of naturally interested in all the ramifications of it.
Seattle Arts and Lectures, Bumbershoot. Talk to us about how you created or got involved with those projects.
Well, let's see, Bumbershoot, it was Tom Parson was, so he had sort of done an informal, this was in 78, I think. They had a small press book fair and a couple of readings. It was kind of small. And so he didn't want to do it. And so he asked me if I wanted to do it. And I was kind of, I come back for after 7 years, and around the world. And I was just anxious to, sure, I'll do it. What is it? And it was the best interview than I've ever had. I go in to meet Norm Langell, and they were still pretty much involved in the One Reel Vaudeville Show, which was a traveling truck with a platform, and Louise would do the dance and tell jokes and stuff. So I walked in, and there's all these puppets and circus tents, and it's like a menagerie. And it was a fun place. So I sat down, and Norm says, "Well, you want to do it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay." And that was it.
And then cue the circus music. Da, 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 da,
Yeah.
da, 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 da.
Right. And then it was a matter of working with Red Sky, because they had been involved in some of the readings. And then we had a budget for inviting national writers, and The book fair was always a lot of fun because it was an active time. Grey Wolf was in Port Townsend and lots of other presses, you know, so it was a great book fair. And then we had panels and added performances. Like I did it for 5 years.
Seattle Arts and Lectures.
That was invitational, and I was glad that, you know, I didn't have to build that one. I did build that literary center that I had for 5 years, but the Seattle Arts and Lectures was modeled after San Francisco and Portland Arts and Lectures, and it was a very exciting program, and it was interesting to meet all those writers and be a part of that.
What did you do for them?
Well, I went to board meetings.
Well, you earned your salary then.
Yeah. One time, André Dubuque was, who had, after his accident, he was in a wheelchair. And so Sherry had not realized that the church where we had the lectures was not, it didn't have a ramp, so she went to the trouble of building a ramp. You know, cost $2,000 to put him up on stage and everything. And we discussed people that would be good to have, different programs. It was a pretty high-powered board. Nancy Nordoff, who then went on to found that Whidbey Island Women's Cottages at Hedgebrook, and some others that were interesting kind of movers and shakers on that higher level, financially higher level.
That had some dough to be able to do things.
Yeah, right. So that was great. I mean, they had nice receptions, a good audience. They were very professional about paying for ads and doing publicity. Whereas when I was doing the Literary Center, it was all sort of hands-on. You know, do it. I had some training at the NEA because I was in the literature program studying arts management I got a fellowship to do that, and my goal was to start a literary center, which I did, but it was after 5 years, it was a lot of work, and I didn't really want to work harder in order to make money to pay myself. I would rather just
keep the program going.
Keep the program going until I probably just burn out.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Even subsidize it at times.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Chop wood, carry water, and balance the catheter. It's the literary administration life.